Yes, 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 yes. It's that sweet time again, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. It's a fine day. It probably is a fine day where my esteemed host is, but I know it's a fine day up here in Jersey. This is the No Chaser, if you care to know. And I am JT, a.k.a. the co-host of this show. And let me bring in the man of No Chaser, with a No Chaser type of attitude, Mac Williams.
Hey, I'm really glad to be here. Very happy. Glad all you guys are here. I hope you guys all had a great week. Hope you just accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish this week. Let me first of all plug the people. The show is brought to you by Trinity Web Solutions. If you need internet, domains, email, anything, WordPress, anything dealing with your internet presence, man, please get over to trinitywebsolutions.org and open an account today. It's 24/7 support and help. And no contracts, no games, no nothing. You can cancel at any time. Great customer service, so please. If you're looking to do anything on the web, whether it's a website, email, you want to do custom emails and send them out to your mailing list, whatever it is, we have it all for you. Get over to trinitywebsolutions.org. We can take care of you. All right. I'm on the verge of having wheels again. I got a car the other day, 2 days ago. I went today to DMV, which is I think is hell on earth. And, got through the process pretty well, but I didn't finish getting everything yet to get my 30-day tag. So I have to resume my journey on Monday. So we have wheels after Monday. Just wanted to acknowledge, I want to start this show out by acknowledging a real good friend of mine. Her name is Sylvia Crawley, Milky. Sylvia is a really good friend of mine. I've known her a long time. And she just got the head coaching job for the WNBA's Indiana Fever. And I want to shout out and congratulate her on a great accomplishment on being selected, being picked. I think they couldn't pick a better person to lead the team. She already had coached before, I think, 3 years or so at Boston College with her. But she's on a head coaching experience. So, God bless her, man. I hope she does well. I texted her last night. I told her, I said, man, congratulations, man, to get it done. So her response was, I'm still from the Ville, jumping on things. That was her actual response. And I died laughing. So when she says the Ville, she means Steubenville, Ohio. Steubenville's Ohio Spice. So, congratulations to her. I'm signaling that won't be her coming back to radio anytime soon, but that's okay. All the bigger and better. I'm glad to have her as long as we had her. She had some good shows and good guests and some good lineups. So we wish her. I know I'm not just speaking for myself, but I know all of us here at the Radio family, man, wish her well, man. I told her we'll all be watching. We will be watching.
Oh yeah, and hopefully, Matt, we can get her on the air.
I was just about to say that I'm going to get her on the air. I already told her. Yeah. I'm going to get the interview. The interview, so don't even play. She knows if I call her up and it's like, hey, Phil, when can you come on? I need you. If I can't get you for 15, 20 minutes, give me 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really good. I wanted to bring attention to a documentary that's coming out April 17th. I've been waiting on this documentary for a long time coming. Should have been happening a long time ago, in my opinion, but it has come around. It is ESPN 30 for 30, and it's simply titled Bad Boys. I am waiting to see this because one of my all-time favorite, is my all-time favorite team is my Detroit Pistons Bad Boys with Isaiah, Lambeer, Rodman, and Mahorn, who exemplified 80s basketball, who played it the way, we were all discussing this on Facebook, who played it the way I said I'd like it to be. You know, I like the physical nature, the knock around, you know, knock down, drag out. That's how it should be. I actually put that on my Facebook. I might have tagged you on it. I can't remember, but Jerry, you know, I put it out there that mm-hmm. you know it was to me the 80s and part of the 90s were like the best years of basketball to me in my lifetime because it was no hold bar. It was hatred. I don't like you. You don't like me. I ain't slapping no hands. You ain't my man. I ain't dapping you. When you get on the basketball floor, I'm trying to knock your head off. And I'm trying to beat you and defeat you any way I can, and I ain't feeling sorry for you. I ain't helping you up. None of that.
Wait a minute. Before you go any further, man.
Sure.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I know you're going to give me an honest answer. What do you think about Isaiah kissing Magic Johnson on the court?
I didn't have a problem with that because the difference. Let me tell you what the difference with that is. The difference is these guys have been friends since before they became who they were, okay? But the difference is I can kiss you, but when we get on the floor, you know Magic and Isaiah went at it. And you know there was mm-hmm. a time when Isaiah, Magic and Magic pushed it. I mean, they was going to fight. I remember. So I'm saying it was both were fiercely loyal to their team. So it wasn't like it is now where, okay, I knew you in AAU ball, or, you know, I got to the league and now we cool, and now, you know, I'm dapping you up. Like, for instance, I didn't realize that LeBron James dapped up Paul George after he dunked on him. I didn't know, like, after a while. I'm like, really? Like, you dapped the dude up?
I'm sorry, Max. Say that again.
I said LeBron dapped up. He dapped up Paul George after he dunked on him. Like before the game was over, they dapped hands, and I saw it on the and somebody posted it on Facebook. And I was like, I could never dap up a dude after he dunked on me.
Nope.
I can't.
No way.
I can't do that. And like I said, man, it's just you know I just you know a lot of and I, it's funny I put up the trailer for the Bad Boys thing, and when I put it up, I got a lot of responses, and a lot of people, you know, said, well, they was dirty, they was this and that, and I said, well, you know, you can call it dirty. I said, but the difference is they were doing it as a team, and you have to also understand something. The NBA was allowing it. They were allowing it. So it wasn't like they were doing stuff, and it wasn't like they were trying to hurt people, they were sending people to the hospital. And to me, it was a physical brand of basketball. And they weren't going to let Jordan do what he wanted to do, and they were going to stop him and let everybody else beat him. I said, and I told him, I said, that's what happens in basketball. I said, you know, to me, it's all about intent. If your intent is to hurt people, then you're wrong, then that's dirty. I said, but when your intent is to stop a guy, and you're trying to grab a ball, and a guy jumps in the air, and you pull him down, and you got your hands on the ball, that's a jump ball, as far as I'm concerned. I said, you know, did they do things that people didn't like? Sure. I said, but you have to understand, people were trying to beat us too. I said, the difference is they just weren't doing it as a team like we were. So, no, I don't have a problem with Isaiah and Magic doing it, but I'm just glad the documentary is coming out because I'm just anxious to see it. You know, and to be honest with you, I think a lot of these young players need to see it because I told the youngins, I said, y'all too nice. I said, your whole thing is I never – when I was coming up, you know, Jerry, we never let a guy come down. Okay, you come down and score. And then I let you score because I'm not playing no defense, and all I do is run to the baseline to get the pass in so I can come back down and match you. Like, that isn't the way you play the game. The way you play the game is I stop you, and I go get what I want.
Yep.
That's true, too.
That's
defense
right.
Is when I come down and I score, and then you go down and I stop you, and then I go down and score again. That's the name of the game. The name of the game was never let me shoot and then, okay, now your turn. And I just find that really amazing that in today's athlete, this is what they think is okay. They think it's okay for a guy to cook you. And then be like, okay, well, I'm going to go back at him. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Stopping him is what's going to prove the point. But that's coming out April 17th. So that's on, I think that is next Thursday or something like that. So please be sure to, you know, to check that out. and look at that. I'm anxious to see it. As far as what were we talking about last week? Oh yeah, that's Jerry. We were talking about last week. I just want to finish my thought. I guess I was telling you last week. And I think last week, just to bring you back, what I was talking about is, I was saying that I sometimes think that we look for racism, and we look for. And the only thing I was saying last week, I think I was finishing what I was saying, is I was saying that I never act like, you know, racism doesn't exist. I know about the look. I know about what you, everything you said, I agree with you 100%. I said, I know it's there. I know it is. You know, but the thing that it's one of the things I taught my daughter was, I was like, you know, ignore it. Like, don't let it stop you. Don't let it make you a bitter person. Because, see, I'm going to be honest with you. I have deep feelings about this kind of stuff. Because I personally think that a lot of blacks walk around being very bitter, very afraid, very conscious of what.
Well, you got to be conscious. You got to be conscious because it can hit you at any time. So you got to be conscious of that.
I can give you that, Jerry. But Jerry, here's the thing. If I'm conscious of a person, I walk in a store and they follow me. I mean, really, let's be honest. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Turn around and confront the person, get upset, flip out? Nah. Or, you know, I can walk out the store and not buy anything, which is fine. But here's the difference. But the difference is, if I walk out the store and I don't buy anything, I'm not going to carry that with me. I don't care.
Well, no, I'm not saying you carry it with, but you got to understand where it's coming from. So you got to be conscious of it.
But to be honest with you, as a business person, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say something a lot of black folks won't say. If some of the people that walked in the store dressed the way they dressed, pants hanging off their ass,
Wait a minute. Because I got an issue with this. Because the fact is, just because somebody walks in the store with and don't look like supposedly somebody wants them to look, they got to be up to something. Now it could be anyway. Just what you said about pants hanging off, or dressing all disheveled. Or some female dressed like some hoochie walking in the store. But that doesn't mean, and just follow me here, that doesn't mean that person is up to anything. That doesn't mean that person is not a decent person. Just because of their dress doesn't define who they are.
Right.
Now, okay. people make assumptions of who they are because of the way they dress. But that's not fair. Some of them are up to something, but you just can't assume just because you see somebody that doesn't fit your description of how they should look, regardless of how they look, that they're up to something.
Well, I'm going to say something that most people don't say, is that I don't care. If I'm a store owner, and you coming in, you look suspicious, you fit the MO of a guy that might be up to something, I'm going to follow you. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to watch you. Yeah.
Following somebody and watching them is two different things. Following someone and watching is two different things.
But okay, what's the difference between me? What's the difference between me? Okay, following you could be, what's the difference? Why can't I follow you? Why? It's my store.
But you said follow or watch. I'm saying following and watching is two different things. Now, hear me out here. Just hear me out because this is going to be something and it may be far off, but it's just an example because it just popped in my mind.
Okay.
And it's from a movie. You ever seen a movie with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts?
Called
Pretty Woman.
Okay.
Now, Julia Roberts was a hooker. But Richard Gere had fallen for her, right? And she dressed street, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word. She dressed street. She walked into a store with a unlimited credit card looking to make purchases, and the woman assumed, just assumed, because the way she looked, that she wasn't about nothing and quickly pretty much dismissed her, and she walked out in a huff. Now, because the way she looks or a person look doesn't define the person. Now, I know first impression is the lasting impression. I understand that. But you can't judge a person just by what you see, because you don't know what kind of person they are.
Right. I don't believe you should. I don't believe you should treat or take action against somebody without proof. So let me give you an example. If a guy walk in and I think they up to no good, I'm gonna follow them. I'm gonna be suspicious of them. I am. Am I gonna follow them and start folding stuff near them? I'm putting clothes back. Yeah, absolutely. Now, if they ask me a question and say to me, "Hey, can I buy this?" and I say to you, "You can't afford that," that I have a problem. Now, if I put you out my store because of the way you look and you've done nothing, I have a problem with that. But I don't have a problem with one red-blooded person who works at a job, shopping, whatever, protecting and judging by what they see and following and being suspicious. There's no crime in being suspicious. There's no crime in following anybody in a business or whatever. There's no job. There's nothing wrong with that. But to be honest with you, would some of the people that walk in the door, would I be apprehensive about them? Absolutely. Would I feel they might be up to no good? Absolutely. Would I treat them that way based on what I see? No. But don't think that I'm going to just fall back and be like, "All right, it's cool." And,
Most people, what they see is how they treat people, and that's the truth. You walk in there. Let me put it this way, and really doesn't, and it can and can't define based on your color. But you walk into a store. Young kid walks into the store, 18, 19 years old. Dressed street, jeans hanging off, his shoelaces are untied, baggy pants, whatever type of shirt. Regardless of if he's got good intentions or not, I guarantee you he's going to get treated differently. I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, he's going to get treated differently than a teenager the same age walking in there clean cut.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is, here's my thing. When you say treat, if you're saying to me by treat, you mean, okay, he comes in and I'm suspicious of him or I follow him or something like that, that's fine. If I'm cussing at him or I say something wrong or say something off the way to him or whatever, or I'm not giving him no service, that's different. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, but people are not claiming I didn't get no service. People are not claiming they told me I can't afford that. They said, they ain't doing that. What we're mostly complaining about in stores and retail and other places is their following. And I'm saying that's bullshit. Like, it's their business. If it was your, and I'm going to tell you, every person who sits and says what's the word they use? They are, what do they use? Profiling me.
That's subtle profiling, because you follow a person. What happens is that same person happens to be white, other than somebody either who's Mexican, who's black, who's anybody, a person of color, they're not dressed the way people would like them to be coming to the store dressed. They're going to get treated a different way, regardless if it being followed or not. They're going to get treated a different way. They're going to get treated a different way. That's the cold hard truth.
I give you that. But here's the problem. The problem I have is that here's a couple factors. One, we as a people need to clean up our act. We need
what?
To...
Whoa. Why you say that?
Because
what context are you talking about?
I know. I'm getting ready to tell you.
Okay.
When I say clean up our act, number one, most is a statistical fact. I have to find it, but I've seen it. But it's a statistical fact that most of the crimes that are performed in here are by us, male, black men. Okay?
Say that again.
I said most of the crime, we are the biggest contributors to crime statistically, happened by black males. Okay, that's
Do you know why that is?
I don't know why that is. Everybody
because we're easy targets. It's easy to pick up a black man and put him in jail. That's big business. That's big business. Prisons are big business.
But I want to ask you this. So you actually believe that in this day and age where we are very aware of race, this ain't the shit. You're telling me that a black person just gets scooped off the street, no evidence, no nothing.
I didn't say that, Mac. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is this. The ratio of black men to white men that commit the same crime is, and I don't have the specific statistics in front of me, but I can almost guarantee you that black man will be put in jail before that white guy will, and like I say, they're easy targets. They're easy targets for the simple reason. Wait a minute. Just let me finish my thought here. They're easy targets for the simple reason that a black male, there is a more of a high rate of unemployment, which leads to crime, than there is with the white male. And the fact is, and I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's still a fact up until this day, it's harder for a black man to get employment than there is for a white man. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Because of a lot of factors, and you're probably going to tell me, just like you told me before, and I'm not discounting it, you have to work hard to get what you want. I understand that. But you get into a lot of these neighborhoods where there's a sense of no way out, no hope, and no chance of getting any kind of employment. And the only thing that would be able to get money in your pocket is to do things that are illegal. Now, my problem is this. There's a high rate of black men in jail, okay, especially for some drug-related crime, either selling drugs or the like.
Right.
Now, and I'm not discounting putting them in there, but there's somebody giving those black men the drugs to buy. And who's putting those people in jail? And you can't tell me all of them above the black man, the low-level dealer, or the second-level dealer who is black, that
the food chain
the way up is black.
But you got to remember something. Now, to that point, I will say this. But you also have to understand, most of the people who are the high-level people ain't doing the dirty work. They got too many layers between them. And that's why they can't find these people. You know that if a sub comes from Colombia or comes from Mexico, you ain't going, ain't American ain't going over there and find them unless you can find the guy, unless you know who it is, who he is. And most of the time when you go over there, you're going over there taking a risk because you want their choice.
That's why I'm saying a minority is an easy target.
I understand that.
Because they're out there.
No, I tell you what makes us easy targets. Here's what makes us easy targets. What makes us easy targets is number one, we don't want to start from the bottom and work and bust our ass. I can tell you why. I can prove it to you. You go to any store, you go to any restaurant, most places, in white suburbia or even inner city, and you tell me why in the hell is there plenty of jobs local Hispanic at Burger King, at all these other places, cleaning toilets, white toilets with a smile on their face, happy to count them. Come in there, come every day on time. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I had Hispanics in a restaurant that I ran. Let me tell you, Jerry, they were the easiest people to deal with. You teach them, they look every day happy. They never bother. They do the same thing every day. They clean toilets. They never get to a problem. They bust their ass. They do it with a smile on their face, with their attitude they do. Okay, now I understand we don't come from Mexico, and we don't come from the come through, and we don't live as bad. Some of us do in the inner city live as bad as they did in Mexico. But the fact of the matter is, here's my point. My point is, we, I'm talking, and I'm talking about all of us, but I'm talking about we young black people, black men, don't want to go to McDonald's. I've heard them say it in bunches. I'm not going to McDonald's. I don't work at no McDonald's, and I ain't doing that. I ain't going flipping no burgers. That's the problem with our race. Our race is always thinking that's not good enough. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I'm ashamed. My friends will laugh at me if I go do that. Trust me. I've seen it. And the problem is that instead of us, and that's why, and you know what's amazing? You know how I know that? Because we got a problem. You know why? Because then, now you got all kind of people from the fast food who are fighting to get the minimum wage raise. We can't live on this shit. Okay, well, how come the Hispanics doing good with it? Because they're pooling their money together. They're working together. They save their money. They do it. What I'm saying to you, please, what I'm saying to you, I'm not saying that all of it is our fault. Not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have a real big part in it. And part of the reason why we're easy targets is because we got all this pride and this moxie. How come it is we can go out and sell drugs and we can do that? We can sell that, but let's be honest. We ain't no great salespeople. Because we're selling something that somebody's addicted to. Try going door to door and selling something nobody don't want. So what I'm saying to you, Jerry, is I agree 100%. We are easy targets. But it's not because we're stupid or we're dumb or we're unintelligent or we're uninformed or we don't know. Part of the problem is we promote in our race, in our movies, in our TV, and everything else, the glamorous life. We want the car. We want the house. We want the nice fly gym shoes. We want the fly jeans like everybody else in school. We want this and we want that. And then when it comes down to 18 years old, 19, when we want to go out, we don't want to work at Foot Locker. We might go to Foot Locker because it's tennis shoes. We can sell that. But most of them, they don't go to no fast food place. You know, that's why it's a shame to say they're the ones who are all in the fast in the food industry. And people are talking about, well, they don't come. Remember when the Democrats said, well, shoot, if they don't come, we ain't got no industry. Okay, so why aren't we working those jobs? Because we don't want to work those jobs. You can bring a horse with water, but you can't make them drink. So what I'm saying is we need to look at ourselves and see what responsibility we can take in getting our young people to say, you know what, McDonald's ain't a bad job. Get in there, bust your ass. You can be like I'm gonna be honest with you. I'll give you a great example. When I was running a Pizza Hut, I had 5 shift managers. I couldn't afford. Our store didn't make enough to have an assistant manager. But I can have all the shift managers I wanted. I had 5 shift managers. My oldest one was 25 years old. The other ones were all teenagers in high school. And they were making $10 an hour. And I can tell you that they weren't mad about that $10. You know why? Because that $10, they were a shift manager. You want to know how they became a shift manager? Because they came to work on time every day. They worked. They learned how to run the shift. They learned how to do scheduling. They learned how all that stuff is offered in fast food. We don't want, but that's what I'm saying, the same $10, the $11 that they holler about, but they're not willing to go in and bust their ass and get it. They're not willing to go in there and earn it. That's what I'm saying. And you want to know the truth, Jerry? Jerry, it is so easy for black men to go into any fast food or any restaurant and get a promotion. Want to know why? Because 90% of the black guys that do come there are late, don't come to work, wear the shirt out, have the pants down, don't obey authority, always doing something that they're supposed to. So wait a minute. So I'm gonna show you how I did it. When I was coming up, they were still doing the same thing. But guess what? I came to work on time. I had my shirt tucked in. I was trying to learn. I was busting my ass and trying to hustle because I wanted that money. So I played the game. I did what I had to do. And guess what? Once I started doing it, it ain't take me but a month. Because guess what? Because while everybody else coming late and doing everything else, man, Mac is. And Mac was his tail, man. He's doing things. He's talking to the people in the right vernacular. He's not, yeah, I don't know, man. And, yeah, I talk to the people right. Why? Because my mama taught me that. I didn't have to switch up. I knew how to switch up. So what I'm trying to say to you, Jerry, is I agree with 100%. There is it. But what I'm so sick of is that we as black people sometimes will complain about stuff, but we never want to hold ourselves responsible or our young people responsible for saying, you created this. You created this. And I'm going to be honest with you. Just like I told my daughter, the dude you bring home, I promise you, don't bring me no dude with his pants hanging off. Don't bring me no dude with some raggedy clothes and some stupid-ass dude. Don't bring no dumb-ass dude to me. I told her, I said, you will be embarrassed and he will. Don't do it. I said, I promise you. Don't do it. Because I don't want to see it. Because I told her, you'll be embarrassed and he will too. I promise you. Don't do it. And it ain't because I'm being mean, but it's because, man, I'm trying to show my daughter out here, man, look, your dad ain't got a lot. I ain't got a lot. I ain't no rich dude or nothing like that. You know, I will be one day, but at the same time, I'm not. But guess what? When I walk into a place and I look decent, I don't be looking good. Now, I'm not a guy who's going to wear shirts. I wear tennis shoes every day and jeans. I wear that even going to substitute and teach it. But I wear a dress shirt. You know what I'm saying? I know how to look decent. I know how to talk to people. I mean, right. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not down. And here's the thing. My whole mission in life is to do many things. But one of them is to try to, at every turn I get, that God opens the opportunities to tell people and say, look, if nobody else, I'm gonna be the black guy that's gonna say, is gonna hold our people accountable and say, I see that side, but what about our side? You know, what about somebody being responsible for what they do? And I just find that we're not responsible, because there's no way in the hell, Jerry, that we should have Hispanics running restaurants. We should not have Hispanics, and I'm not against the Hispanic people. I'm not, but I'm talking about Hispanics wiping, you know, washing, cleaning bathrooms. And just like they go in there and wash their hands and do fries and do whatever they ask, never turn around and be like, the hell you asking me that for? That ain't my job. I ain't doing that. That's up. I ain't cleaning no toilet. Really? You not going to clean the toilet? But you the same dude who keep telling me you want to be a manager on that. Come on, man. Managers clean toilets too, whether you believe it or not. You know? But again, our culture always is all about showing us easy money. Everybody wants to do something to make easy money. Come on, man. I know right now, living in D.C., I know black folks right now that punch in and disappear from work and a government job and don't come back to the end of the day and somebody else punch them out. Come on, man. It's a whole rack of us. You send me when I'm on Facebook, you're telling me I'm on Facebook with a whole bunch of my friends and none of my government people who should be working and they're not and they stay on there for 5 hours? The whole game with us, man, to be honest with you sometimes, most of us do as little as possible and get paid for it.
Oh, I know about that, Matt. Come on, man. Come on. Just because just because of a few doesn't warrant the many. Jerry, come on.
I'm not saying every person. I can't speak for every black person.
You said most of us. You said most of us. That's over 50%.
I would say that. Yeah, I would say over 50%. Yeah, I agree with that.
Oh, stop. Stop.
But the problem is we never. This is the root of our problem as a race. We never, ever want to believe the gorilla in the room is there. It's not there. Like, no, it's impossible it could be 50%. Why isn't it?
You're saying that over 50%. Are as you say, and there's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Jerry, let me say this to you. Ever since
most are hardworking people. Now you are describing a few, and calling in the majority.
I give you that, Jerry. Ever since I have been in the workforce, every job I did, every place I went, wherever I go. I could go to you, I could go all day, every day, and I guarantee you, every single freaking day, I point out a person and show you a person. was doing something for me. And I'm talking about 48 years. I'm talking about at least 30 of those years. Every day I know exactly where it's at. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with the food stamp thing. Black people sit on, you know what? Those black people sit on the front. You and other people, you know what y'all say? Man, ain't nobody.
Let me put it this way. The majority of people on food stamps are not black.
That's fine. I ain't got no problem. I'm talking about I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about that. Because we need to look at our own shit. I'm talking about that. What I'm saying is, let me tell you right now, there's not a time in my life.
But you're singling out one race when the majority is collecting food stamps, and you're singling out one race.
But I'm singling out one because I'm black and I'm talking about us. The problem with us is that we all line up behind each other and we all bat for each other, but we never hold each other responsible. We'll throw you a bone. We'll say, yeah, you know, there are some here. You know, but if you come off and say, well, you know, a lot of black folks that do have welfare are misusing it, then we all get in a tizzy. And we don't believe it.
Well, I'm not getting into tizzy about that, but what I'm saying is this, with regardless of what race you are, there's going to be fraud and abuse. So, but you're singling out us as,
right.
And you're making it sound like us being the biggest offenders, and that's not the case.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying we're the biggest offenders. I'm saying we're offenders. I don't care if we the biggest, I don't care if we the smallest, I don't care if we whatever, we doing it. Period. That's the point. The point is, I'm not around, I didn't grow up around white folks. I don't hang a majority of my time around white folks.
Okay.
I know my folks, so I can speak on my folks because I know them. So what I'm trying to say to you is when you say I'm
singling
out, I'm not.
You calling your folks out, but they're doing the same thing a lot of other people of different races are doing.
But I don't care what they're
doing. I'm not saying it's right, but they're not the biggest offenders, let me put it that way.
But say y'all the biggest offenders. I said this is I never said we were the biggest offenders. I said what we do. All I said was I said ever since I've been little, there's never been a time where I couldn't have took you to somebody and get you some food stamps.
Okay.
Get you a food stamp now. I can get you some from somebody who's working, might have three or four cars. And what I'm trying to tell you is, what I'm trying to say to you is this, is that, Jerry, it brings down to this. What I'm saying is, I just want our race for one. To stop pointing the finger at other people when people point the finger at us and take responsibility and say, you know what, we got to get our shit in order.
You're looking for utopia. You're looking for perfection, and you're not going to get it from any race. You're not going to get it from any race, and that's what you're looking for. And it's not going to happen.
I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that. You know what I'm looking for? You know what I'm really looking for? I'm looking for us to take responsibility. That way, if I come to you, put it like this: when we were kids, Jerry, I'm pretty sure there were times when you did something, and you may point at other kids and say, "Well, he's doing it too." And 9 times out of 10, my mama could do it. You know what my mama said? I ain't talking about this. About you, nigga. You did it. What you did. You did this, and this. You responsible for what you did. I don't care what Tommy did. I'm talking about you. So what I'm saying to you is we need to start holding ourselves responsible and getting ourselves together. But I'm sick and tired of us always, every time somebody says we're doing something, we always say, well, they doing it too. Well, they. What about us?
Well, let me put it this way. This sounds like some conservative right wing rhetoric that talks about welfare mothers and talks about when it's just code word for black people, rather than come out and say that there's fraud and abuse in welfare, and the majority of the people that are getting welfare are white. No, they target the black person because that's an easy target, and that that falls in with what the mindset wants to hear. Come on, man. Come on. I've seen this before. Come on.
But Jerry, here's the thing. It has nothing to do with being right wing, Jerry. It has to do when I go back in my mind from the time I was a child till now, when I was in the inner city of Detroit. There was a time when I was 21, 22 years old, and I was getting, I was getting food stamps as a single man, and I was getting a check. I wasn't working.
Right.
I did that for like months, and I got off that because my mother, I hit my ass. I was like, "Are you out of your mind?" And I didn't do it. So what I'm trying to say to you, though, Jerry, is I'm not trying to say there's a utopia. All I'm saying is, there are a lot of things that we do as a race that we need to look at ourselves, straighten ourselves out. I'm not saying we got to be perfect. We can't. You're right. It's a utopia to think everybody's perfect. What I'm saying is, put it like this: if you come to me, Jerry, and you say, Jerry, and you say, Mac, why did you do such and such and such? I'm not going to tell you, well, I did it because such and such and such. I'm not going to sit and point to somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. When I do that, what I'm doing is shucking my responsibility. I'm blaming somebody else. I'm not taking responsibility for what I did. And that's what I find us doing. I'm not saying that all black people are abusing it, but I can tell you this. I don't live in the white community, so I don't know what they do. But I do know this. The fraud and abuse that I saw coming up and still see today, and it's big time. And I see it all the time. I go down to Goodman any day of the week. I go down to Goodman and get me and buy me a food stamp. Anytime. Whenever I want. D40, give me a whatever. If I can do it. And we're the ones doing it. And that's what I see. So what I'm saying to you is that I'm not saying white people ain't abusing it. I know they have just as much capability. I'm not saying they're not. But as a black man, I'm not gonna sit and back us just because I'm a black man. I'm gonna back it because I'm gonna back the cause because it's right. And what I'm saying to you is that I'm just saying we need to start holding. Instead of put it like this, if I see a guy right now that comes to me and says, "Man, I got these cars and this and that," I'm gonna say, "Man, look, I understand what you're doing, but Slim, I don't understand why you're doing that. Like somebody could really use that. You're taking advantage of the system." Now, he may get mad at me, cuss me out, call me whatever, but I'm not going to stand there and be like, I ain't going to say nothing, and talk about him behind his back.
Uh-huh.
Especially if he's a friend of somebody I know. Like, man, somebody else can use that, man. Why are you doing that? And most people think I'm going to do it because I can. And that's what most of the people are doing, it because I can. Even though it's not right, because I can. And all I'm saying to you, Jerry, is this. I love my people. Because a lot of people get it real construed. They be like, man, you hate black. You hate black. I don't hate black people.
You just want them. You just want them to do better. I understand what you're saying.
I just want us to do better, but it irritates me when we consistently say we're consistently the victim. And I hate it. I hate it so much, Jerry. Not because it's like bitching, whining, and moaning about shit. It's like, man, you know. I mean, I'm gonna say the real honest. I'll be like, man, fuck that shit, man. Look past that shit, man. I ain't holding no bitterness against no white folks. I don't care what they doing, man. I'm going to go do what I got to do. Because to be honest with you, Jerry, I'm going to tell you, I've gotten farther in life where I am because I ignore stuff. I'm not saying I don't confront. I'm not saying I don't do it. But what I'm saying is, here's my thing. If you follow me, if you think I'm a thief, and you ain't got the balls to come up and ask me what am I doing or I'm stealing or something, then you a coward. At that point, I don't need to give you my time. I'm going to go shop. You think I'm going to steal something? Man, I'm going to show you. Because guess what? Because when I got that grip and I get to that front and I buy what I got to buy, guess what you're going to learn? I'm not the dude who's going to get in here and steal. I don't have to say it. I don't have to turn around and get mad at you. I'm going to show you. I can show you better than I can tell you. And guess what? I don't give you a chance to go call the popo. I don't give a chance to make no scene, to make me look like I'm stupid. And we got to start being smarter. We can't just go on and flick on people because they follow. Man, he's following us. Like, see? But then if he really is racist and don't like you and wants you out of his store, you get ready to get married and get you out. And he's going to stand right there and let you flip the hell out, look like a fool, and going to be like, I don't know where your problem is. And take the right on out. And all they were doing was following you. And all you had to do was either leave or buy something. And go up the front and get your choice. I'm telling you, Jerry, I'm just saying, I'm not saying we're bad people. We're not. We are the most intelligent kid. Man, today, I'm going to tell you experience. While I'm on the phone, I'm going to tell you this experience. My sister took me today while we were going to DMV to take care of this car. She took me to this place called the Dutch Shop, whatever it was, whatever this place was. This looked like a big old, like used to be a shopping place.
Okay.
You know what was inside? The Amish took over a freaking whole department store side place. Made their own cake. One place was cake and donuts. One place was meat. One place with had a little dining area and everything. I wish you could see this place. They sold everything. Homemade, done. And you know what I did when I came out of there after I saw my friend? I mean, there was so much food, so much great food. Man, dude, they had an omelet. Get this now. Get this, Jared. An omelet for $3.50. An omelet. This omelet looked like it should have cost $10. It was filled. Okay? I'm just telling you, they're making their own eggs. I'm just telling you, own eggs and butter. They're making.
You still there, Mac? Mac. Mac, call back. Wow. 202. Looked like we lost Mac. Hopefully he'll let me try to call him back. I got his phone number. I'll try to get him back on the air. We'll see what happens here.
You have reached
here.
The Sprint voicemail box of 202-384-3416.
What's up, Mac?
No, I'm sorry. My bad. I hit the wrong button. My bad. It's live radio, y'all. Live radio. I just wondered, Jerry, why we couldn't do something like that, Jerry. And that's why I told my sister. I said, you know what's a shame? Amish come in here and do this crap. And we couldn't do the same thing.
Well, let me back that up for a minute. You know,
okay.
from the beginning of their life, they live a certain lifestyle and they grow up like that. It's a certain community that grows up like that. So I understand what you're saying, but it's a for all intents and purposes, it's an isolated community. And they stay within themselves, and they have a certain lifestyle and philosophy that they live by, and part of it is working in the collective, and that's just what they do. They do all different types of skills, cooking, woodwork, whatever, but it's all within the collective.
But that's what I mean about us being better. When I say us, that's what I'm saying. We parents, we bring up the kids. We need to start teaching our kids, you know, entrepreneurial things sometimes and saying, you know what, where is your talent? Where can you show it? What can you use that for? How can you? Yeah, some want to go to work, and that's cool. Some people don't want to be an entrepreneur. I'm cool with that. What I'm saying to you, I'm just saying that our attitude are keeping up with the Joneses. I'm jealous of them. They jealous of me. I got to get a bigger car than them. Our whole mentality needs to change because we're not, because I'm saying I know the potential that we all have. We consume. We're the number, we're one of the top consumers of goods. But when we buy this stuff, we're not going out owning anything. We're consumers. We just get stuff and we consume. We consume, but we're not buying things that age and that have value and things like that. We all go out and getting clothes. We're getting perishables, things that wear out and go away. And I'm just saying we have to change and get better, but it starts with us parents. Because those are the next adults that are coming up over us. And we got to teach them not to be jealous. You don't have to be. But see, what I'm going to tell you, parents have, a lot of black parents talk about things and say things about people in front of those kids. And that's where the kids learn it. And then they come up, and the first thing they all do, because we all, you know, I'm not saying all people don't do that, but I'm saying a lot of us, man, we compare ourselves to each other. You know, I've heard kids in the school, you know, I'm a substitute, and I've heard kids in the school down somebody because their shoes ain't as good as the other shoes. And your shirt ain't this. And your shirt, you get your shirt from so-and-so. You get your shirt from Burlington. You don't get your stuff from Nike.
It's,
you know,
clean. I mean, it's clean.
That's that kind of stupid stuff. I'm saying,
yes.
That's the kind of stupid stuff we say to each other.
Yeah, but see that is from the multimedia. Pounding different things in the kids and having them believe that they got to look, they got to buy a certain thing in order to have that respect, in order to be that it person. That comes from the media.
But I give you that, but at the same time though, Jerry, but here's the other thing, it's also from the parents, because some of these parents have nice big old house, two cars in the garage and everything else, but they'll come up to Pizza Hut and argue with me over a $5 freaking coupon. Jerry, because they're one missed paycheck away from disaster, because they're spending more of their income than they're taking. They're barely making it. It's like, I got a car, I got a house, I'm good, I got these nice clothes, but to be honest with you, if I miss one paycheck, I'm fine. I'm screwed. And I know that, and that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I've done food delivery, man. I've gone to a big old house with black people, got, you know, four cars in the garage. I mean, a nice house. If you saw this house, you'd be like, man, this thing, don't give me a tip. I go up there, black guy come, open the door, close the door, don't give me a damn tip. Don't tip on the credit card now. I'm just sitting there like, really? Like, seriously? And you just bought $70 worth of food? Have you lost your mind? Now, I'm leave. I know what it is. You ain't got the money to tip. Well, why would you order something from service if you didn't want to tip? I'm going to be honest with you, man. I've done service, and, you know, I'm not going to say nothing, but I can tell you, out of the two years that I've been doing this food delivery service on a part-time basis, slim. More than times than not, I get stiff by a black person before I do a white person on tip. And I don't understand what it is, and I'm so ashamed. Go back and say, I don't even say stuff. You know, because sometimes they'd be like, did they tip you? I'd be like, yeah, they ain't tip me. So on some nights, I get like three of them in a row. I'm like, pop, 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 ain't give me nothing. Yeah. And then I don't know what it is. And the only thing I can attribute it to, Jerry, is that we as parents, changing what we're teaching our kids, we got to start. Now, I'm not saying that it's all our fault. I'm just saying as a race, man, we got to do better. We just got to start, we got to change people's perception. I know nobody thinks that's fair, but we have to. And the only way you change a perception is dress it. See, I'm not saying you can't wear jeans, but why they got to be hanging down around your thigh? I mean, if you wear a hoodie, you take it off. Dude, Jerry, I'm pretty sure if you was wearing a hat and you came into a church, you take your hat off. If you went into certain places, you're going to take your hat off. If you had a hoodie on, you're going to take your hoodie off. Nobody's saying that you can't wear a hoodie, but you don't need to keep it on walking around in it, because guess what? Because most of the people who shop, live white, black, Hispanic, or anything else, come into a place with a hoodie on, guess what? They're up to no good. That's the perception of society. So to change it, guess what you do? Oh, I'm going to the store. Let me take my hoodie off. I do. You don't want to know why I take my hoodie off? I tell you why. I take my hoodie off when I go into a store. You want to know why? So I want you to see
why?
Because I want you to see my face. I want you to know I'm not a threat. I'm not doing nothing. I'm black. I can't walk in here with no hoodie, walking around with no big old hood hanging all the way over down to my nose, and then I'm walking around thinking somebody ain't think I'm suspicious. Come on, man. That's like me coming just, why you think they tell you in the bank, take off sunglasses, don't wear hats? Because most of the people that steal, whether they white, black, Hispanic, or whatever, what do? They wear glasses. They wear masks. They put on the mask. That's why you can't wear the face mask in the wintertime in the damn bank. So all I'm saying to you is that we as a people have to change the perception of what we're talking about. And that's only going to come to older people, older blacks, and parents start telling these kids, do this, do that. You can't do it anymore, of course, because now, Jerry, it used to be if you was on the block and somebody's kid was out of order wearing their pants, you could sit on the porch and be like, hey, boy, pull up your pants. And they had no respect to pull up your pants because the parents would be right behind them like, yeah, boy, what's wrong with you? Now, boy, pull up your pants. I don't know who the fuck you think he's talking to. You don't talk to my child like that. You don't say that to my child. Who are you telling him to pull up his pants? You know, you don't tell him to pull up his hands, and then next thing you know, Junior mouthing off. Yeah, old-ass nigga. Don't be telling me to pull up his hands. Sucker, blah, 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 blah. You know, it ain't like that no more. But that's why I said it's a combination of the older ones and these young parents start raising these kids up and ripping. It can't be the same. You can't do it anymore. We can't. I'm just tired of us being a victim, Jerry. I'm just tired of us speaking. Out of our mouths, we're saying we're a victim. Somebody else is doing something to me, and planning against me. And I'm going to just tell you, in my years, I know there's been racism. I know people have had it out for me. I know it. But I've never missed what was for me because I chose to focus on God more than I chose to on what he said, more than I chose to focus on what they were doing. Because I knew that God was bigger than they were. My mother taught me that. I knew that what I had to do had nothing to do with those people. If those people stopped me from going that way, guess what? God could get me around then and still go. Or he has another way. And I'm just sick and tired of, you know, black Christians saying, you know, praise the Lord, God is good, he supplies me, what's for me is for me. They say all the great things, and then in the very next time, out of their mouth, they're talking about how unfair everything is, and I can't get this, and I can't get that, and they stopping me from this, and then white folks talk to me from this, and then crackers doing this, and crackers doing this. And I'm sitting there like, you're sitting here actually using your mouth to praise white folks, and they basically say to the Lord, these people are greater than you. That's stupid. That's insulting to him. So all I'm saying to you, Jerry, is that I just want to see our people do better, man. It comes from the heart of us being better. If we don't, as black people, start calling our own selves out, if we don't start confronting each other, our own race, and saying, no, we're wrong, and we need to do better than this, I understand those other people are doing it too, but we need to clean up our stuff. And until we get to that point, we can't get nowhere. Because all we got is black people, every time somebody says you're doing something, we point at everybody else and say, well, they're doing it, and they're the most, and then we talk about what's not fair. And come on, I'm here to tell you. I got a newsflash. I got a newsflash to everybody. Everybody who's listening to No Chaser, I got a newsflash. I got a newsflash. I got something that's hot off the press that everybody needs to know. Life is not fair. Nothing is fair. There is no such thing all the time as fair. There is unfair, there is unfair, there is unfair. And I don't know when our race is going to get it. Nothing is fair. Nothing is fair. It's not fair that I have a relationship with certain people that other people don't. So people get mad at me. Oh, man, you know KD. That's why you always on this. You always on KD. Yeah. You don't like so-and-so. Come on, man. Come on, dude. But if I was the dude and you only bad mouth him, I'd be a disloyal to you. You disloyal. You fake. You this, you that. I can't win either way. My thing is this, Jerry. We got to do better, man. That's all I'm saying. But if we don't call out each other's mistakes and confront and correct and at least say something, then and we keep backing each other's play, it's like, yeah, I know he stole. But he stole because them old white people over there didn't give him nothing to eat. And you're like, come on, but he stole, though. Like, you gave them a reason to arrest him. He still stole. And we just ignore it because all we want to talk about is the injustice and what somebody else did to us and how unfair it is. And I'm like, but you stole them. Like, we ignore that. We have to stop ignoring what we do and start paying attention to it and changing it and stop always pointing to everybody else and worrying what they're going to do. Because guess what? Because the white man who y'all keep saying got the advantage, he going to keep having the advantage. He ain't going to stop by you telling him he got an advantage. He ain't going to stop. But you need to clean up our act. We need to clean up our act and get ourselves together. And that's really where all this is coming from, Jay. It's never to hurt my race or say we're, you know, ogres or bad people. That's not what it's about, man. It's about just saying, look, man, we got to get better. We just got to get better and do the right thing. That's all I'm saying. But if we don't confront each other, if we don't hold each other accountable, we'll never get better. As long as we jump behind a black person when they're wrong just because they're black, we're never going to get nowhere. When we start holding the person accountable and saying, you shouldn't have done that, then yeah. Like I told you, sore spot with everybody, but I'm going to keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it until I die. My problem, the whole problem I had with the Trayvon Martin thing was that we never, ever, 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 we completely ignored the fact that boy, 17 years old, made a decision, made crucial decisions that led to his demise. He didn't deserve to die, no. Did I want him to die? Heck no, I don't want no black child to die at 17 years old. You got your whole life ahead of you. But at the same time, we need to realize and learn from this and say, you know what? Because if it was my son, and my son had went back over there and confronted that man, Trayvon, and had confronted Zimmerman, and he survived, and he came home, and that policeman told me that he went back over there and challenged that dude, I'd have kicked my son's ass. Because you know what I would have told him? Your black ass could have died. You don't know that man. You don't know what he had on him. You don't know what he did. And I know it would have happened because my mama would have did it to me. And I know she would. But we completely ignore the response. We completely ignore what Trayvon did and the bad choice he made to punch that man. So, dude, I don't care what he said. My father said they had the narrative to my, but you don't know what was said. I don't care what was said. Because here's the thing. I said, because I don't care what he said. Because whatever he said should never make me punch him. Because now I've just given my power to the so-called dude that I think is not the light. So if everything's not fair, I'm black. But I'm going to go punch the Hispanic dude and beat the crap out of him. Now I've just given you every reason to take me to jail if I survive.
Like I said before, and I'll say it again, the 17-year-old kid that doesn't think like you and I think, and at the heat of the moment, things are different, and that's what happened.
I give you that, but it's amazing to me that at 17 and 18, that at 17 years old, he's a kid. He's a few months away from his birthday, and he's a kid. And I'm just saying.
Well, wait a minute. You know, there's some kids that age are a lot more mature than others. There's some kids that age are more patient and are less hot tempered than others. But there's, for the most part, when a kid's that age, he doesn't have the rationalization and the thought process of you and I at our age. And when he's confronted, just like if it was a kid at the same age as he, and he was confronted or something that was confrontational to him, he would step up. Because kids are kids, and it says, you know, if you punk out, you're always going to get punked out. So step up and confront it. It is what it is. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
The
circumstance was that, and I do believe this, that the kid he's a kid, regardless if he's 17 or 18, he's still a kid, especially mentally, for the most part, and that don't have the same mental capacity as you and I to rationalize. And he just reacts on quick instincts that he hasn't honed yet because of his age. And he reacted in an unfavorable manner to him, quite naturally.
All I say to you is this. The reason why I think Trayvon Martin did what he did to Zimmerman is because Zimmerman, to him, he sized him up, he figured he could do it, he wanted to kick his ass, and he decided that's what he wanted. Just because he figured he was weak and he couldn't do nothing.
Let me say
this to you this way. If Zimmerman was a black man, I doubt very seriously he thought twice about going over there and just punching him. If he thought he was going to get it, because I'm telling you, let me tell you something. I've been that age before, and I know who to fuck with and who not to. I sized you up, and I know, okay, I ain't trying to go at that. I ain't messing with that. I knew as a kid, I'm going to admit something to you. I knew as a kid, I could do certain things with white kids, so they weren't going to do nothing back. But I knew very well that if it was so-and-so or certain black folks in the neighborhood or certain black folks anywhere or if I saw a black kid, I wasn't just putting up on that. You want to know why? Because 9 times out of 10, I knew in my head, I'm going to get a fight. And I might just get a knife and I might get a brick. I might get my ass kicked. It might be a group of them dudes. I don't know who's with who. You think about that. See, when I see the little white guy, oh, man, I go over there smacking in his face. Think about it. I knew I could do certain things with certain white boys because they weren't going to do shit. They weren't going to do nothing. So I picked on them. Well, you did things to them. You said something to them that you would never say. I mean, I've seen that. I've really seen that, seriously.
Okay.
You know, I've seen it all the time. So all I'm saying to you is this, is that we got to get better as a people, man. We just gotta start teaching our kids better than this, man, because I want to see us do that. But we just got to stop this victim thing, man. We just got to start, man, just... I understand it's there, but Jerry, we just got to ignore it and we got to move on, man. We just got to learn sometimes just to be like, it's past. It's not that big. We got to know what battle to fight. That's, I guess, what I'm trying to say. We have to fight the battles, but we can't fight everyone. We have to learn the ones when to take a stand and when not. And sometimes we just got to take a stand. With that being said, we are out of here, man. Jerry, thank you again for another great week of talking, man, and being here, man. Y'all make sure you listen to Jerry's show. Jerry, tell them what time your show is.
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday morning. Beat the Master Plan. And we're talking all kinds of sports. And this time of year, we're talking fantasy baseball also.
Okay. But just to let y'all know, in August, y'all need to tune in to Jerry's show. In August, let me say that again. In August, you need to tune in to Jerry's show. Jerry is doing fantasy football. I'm telling you, he's the master. The dude, he knows what he's doing. He won multiple championships. This dude is the Tiger Woods of fantasy football. So y'all need to listen to him. Please tune into his show. We'll be on again next Friday. Just to let everybody know, I'm debating. I haven't made up my mind yet, but I'm debating in the summer going to record his show since I've had this, because I think I have enough in the vault to do it. I'm toying with this idea, but I may just do that if I don't secure any real guests for the year. And then, you know, we'll do, and if I want to do something different, then I'll talk to Jerry and then we'll do live shows. But that's down the line, guys. But, you know, I'll let Jerry know by end of May. And then but until next week, man, I hope everybody has a great week, man. God bless you and everything you put your hands to, everything you do. And, Jerry, I just want to say thanks for being my host.
Not a problem, man. You enjoy your week. Until next week.
Next week, man. Peace.